traffic jams, air pollutions, and a dozen other irritations a day can make life mighty miserable. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about relief from the rat race. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Say, have you noticed, friends, how much griping there is nowadays? You hear it at every hand, on the streets and the stores, the homes, the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, the television. People are griping about the weather, about the president, the high prices, the increase of crimes, high taxes, and of course many other things. And it seems that with most, perhaps all of these things, there's a legitimate gripe. The crime is terrible. Prices are high and going higher. Taxes are appalling, and the weather, of course, is never satisfactory. How would you like to escape from all of this? How would you like to live in a perfect climate? Not too cold, not too hot, no droughts, no floods, no cyclones, no hurricanes. How would you like to live where there's no crime? Absolutely none. You would never have to lock your house or your car. Your wife and daughter would be safe anywhere. How would you like to live where there are no taxes, no house payments, no rent? How would you like to live where there's no immorality, no social diseases, where young people are contented, happy, and well-behaved? How would you like that, friends? Would you be willing to change your residence? I'll bet you would. Who wouldn't? Well, there is such a place, and I'm amazed that more people are not getting ready to live there under those ideal circumstances. The place is called heaven, and you certainly do have to make preparation to live there. Such a wonderful, ideal place would call for a special kind of citizens. It's not that the preparation is too hard or impossible. The problem is that so many people just don't realize the vital necessity of getting ready to make the move. The fact is that God is pretty particular about the people He admits into that place. Yet, if you want to go there, the Lord Himself will help you to get ready for that wonderful dwelling place. The preparation is really a matter of character, a matter of the transformation of life and habits. New and better habits replace old and evil ones, and altogether the change is really desirable. It's a change that most people would really prefer to have made in their lives anyway. And God will do it for you if you will consent. All you have to do is to be willing and to turn your life over to Him. He'll do it. He wants to do it because He knows that you can't move into this beautiful place, heaven, unless you do. Now, let's ask and answer the questions that multitudes have asked about heaven. What will be the future of the redeemed? What will be their occupation? What will they be doing 1 million, 2 million years from now? I'm sure the Bible has not told us all we want to know about this, but it has not left us all together in ignorance either. Let me ask and answer this question. Where will be the redeemed? Where are they going to spend eternity? Matthew 5:5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now these are the words of Christ, and I conclude that He knows what He's talking about. The meek will be here on this planet, but not under these same conditions. First, the Lord in person will live with the saints on this earth forever. I'll read that to you now. "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and it will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Yes, that's in Revelation 21 and verse 4 and 5. That's what He's going to do, friends. He's going to spend eternity on this earth with the redeemed. In fact, He will move His capital city, the New Jerusalem, from where it is now in paradise right down to this earth. In fact, here it is in Revelation 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And in the 10th verse, we're told almost the same thing. "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Now think of it, friends. This will be the time when God moves the New Jerusalem, His capital city, from where it is in paradise down to this earth. That's right. He'll transfer that city of light to this planet, and the headquarters of His universal government will be right here. That's what God says about it. This city is wonderful beyond our wildest imaginations or dreams. It will be 375 miles square on each side, a perfect square, and its circumference, therefore, will be 1,500 miles. It would take the states of West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, parts of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina for it to rest on. The architect and builder of this marvelous space city is none other than God Himself. You see, it is His own city, the capital of the universe. And since God is a great ruler, we would expect Him to have a great capital, and of course He will have it. That city, by the way, is surrounded by a wall 216 feet in height, and the wall is made of solid jasper with radiance and beauty beyond description. Think of it. A wall nearly 20 stories high and of solid jasper. Furthermore, the city has 12 gates. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Revelation 21, 12 and 13. Think of it, friends. 3 gates on each side and every gate of solid pearl. And if the gates are in proportion to the wall and the rest of the city, then each gate would be about a mile wide. Now, what will be the difference between living in New York, London, or Paris, and living in the New Jerusalem? Well, it won't be the same, believe me. To begin with, there'll be no sin, sickness, or death in the New Jerusalem. There'll be no cemeteries, and of course no doctors, hospitals, or undertakers. Every one of those folks will be out of business. You know how it is now, of course. Your children are exposed to measles, mumps, or scarlet fever, and in due time they come down with those diseases. Now, sickness and disease are contagious, but in that wonderful land, health will be contagious. And there will be no deadly scourges like strokes and cancer and coronaries. You will never hear an ambulance screeching along the streets of gold, and you'll never hear a fire siren as the fire engine races to a fire. For there won't be any fires. Did you know that many fires are started by careless cigarette smokers? And there'll be no cigarettes or smokers in that pure land. There won't be any tavern killings, for there won't be any taverns. In fact, there won't be any more death. Those things are of the devil and are a result of sin. But there, all the effects of sin are eternally banished. And another thing about the New Jerusalem that'll be different than New York today is that there'll be no slums, no skid row, no ghettos. There'll be no red light districts, or prostitutes, or call girls, or girly magazines, no pornography. This'll be one city that's clean from one end to the other. No murders or rapists or robbers there. They've long ago left their killing and raping and robbing to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're there, my friends, they'll be there as the children of God. There's Mary Magdalene as a typical example. Mary will be there, but not as a prostitute. She's the one, you remember, out of whom Jesus cast 7 devils. After she met Jesus, she left her sinless, sinful life and followed the Savior and was the first to be at the tomb on that eventful Sunday morning. And there will be no automobiles racing up and down the golden streets. There will be no landing fields because there will be no more jets. No more streetcars, railroad trains, and no rockets. All right, I guess you've concluded by this time that the way of life in that new city will be altogether different. And it will be, but delightfully different. Imagine never being sick, never having an ache or pain, never seeing a crippled man or woman or boy or girl. Imagine never seeing a wheelchair, leg braces, or crutches. Imagine never seeing a drunk, never having to worry about the safety of your children. Oh, friends, imagine, if you can, no more drugs, no more alcohol, no more cigarettes, cigars, pipe smokers, no lung cancer, no more strokes. You know, the New Jerusalem will have in it the throne of God and of Christ. And it'll be, as I say, right here on this planet Earth for all eternity to come. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." A wonderful future stretches out before the redeemed. But won't the redeemed become bored with the passing of time? Somebody might ask. Oh, no, friends, never, never. Listen to this Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There be no more death, pain, tears, sorrow, sickness, hospitals, operations, tragedies, disappointments, trouble, hunger, or thirst. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. And again, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Revelation 22:3. There is a tremendous, amazing future for those who choose to serve and obey God now. Isaiah 40:31 tells us that we'll not get tired there either. That's going to be something pretty wonderful, isn't it? Remember how you've been so tired that it seemed you could not take another step? And you went to bed so weary that you couldn't even go to sleep. Well, it won't be that way in the new earth. Of course, you're not going to need sleep there to recoup from your weariness, because your bodies will never get tired. They'll never degenerate. Every saved person will be physically whole in every way. The deaf will hear, the blind see, the dumb sing, and the lame will be able to run. Shall I read that to you out of the book of God? I think I'll do that. In Isaiah 35, here in verses 5 and 6, it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the desert shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Oh no, friends, there'll be no hatred there. Neighbors will never fall out with each other. Your wife and daughter will be absolutely safe anywhere, anytime. There won't be any need of police departments, or, of course, ambulances, I said, will not go screaming through the streets. There'll be no jealousy or fear or hatred or falsehood or envy or impurity or cynicism or filth or worry. All evil will be forever shut out of God's new earth kingdom. It's going to be a wonderful place to be, and if we get some happiness out of this life, we're going to get supreme happiness out of the life to come. There'll be no more nervous breakdowns. Time will become eternity, and the pressures and deadlines of earth will be gone forever. And the really wonderful part of it is that you and I can participate in it. We can be in that new Jerusalem and in the new earth. We have an invitation, and the invitation is given by the God and Master of the universe. And the only thing we have to do is accept it and get ready for that move. Oh, friends, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed your sins to Him and had the assurance that they've been forgiven? This is the real way to prepare for the coming of Jesus and for this beautiful home in the paradise of God. I'd like to invite you to write for my little book entitled, Heaven Is It Real? Heaven Is It Real? And by the way, when you write, be sure to give the call letters of the station that you're listening to. Now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.